voted in. She isn't their leader, she is our leader. And it goes on and on, it does. And then it says, John O'Dowd isn't showing any respect this morning, saying they would not sit with Arlene. Arlene deserves respect. She is the leader, First Minister. And again, it continues down the page. There's a lot of it there. David, give us a ring. David, explain some of your points to us. Love to hear from you on the programme. This term, the chickens have come home to roost. Now, there's a term and a half when you think about RHI. But it says here, Frank, the chickens have come home to roost. And it goes on to say, DUP arrogance. It's Anthony in Belfast. He says they'll be warming their heated sheds while the pensioners struggle to get by. One of the old points that was made, of course, in the run-up to the election. But this is post-election now. This is a new era. You've all had your vote. You've gone out. You've exercised your franchise. You've decided on who's going to represent you. It's all blissful and positive on a sunny Monday morning, isn't it, Alex?
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Alex. I'm trying to put a positive spin on all of this. You know, we've had a weekend of sort of people arguing and, I suppose, turn strips out of each other and finger pointing and saying, told you so. Can they sort it out?
Well, I suppose in the first perspective, it's Sinn Féin and the DUP. But my understanding of the Sinn Féin's position is that they have no difficulty whatsoever with Arlene Foster leading the DUP talks delegation. They've said that. They said two or three times. So, yeah, and Gerry Adams said on Saturday, yes, it's possible for a deal to be done more quickly than anyone thinks. But then they threw in the caveat that they still won't nominate the deputy if she's going to be nominated as the First Minister, which throws a huge big spanner, Frank, because the DUP will be thinking, what is the point of us taking Arlene in here to lead this talks negotiation, to sign off a deal, and then Sinn Féin say, that's fine, Arlene, thanks for signing the deal, but at this stage you can't come in, and we're not quite sure when you come because we don't know how long the investigation is going to last.
Okay, so Alex, we've been understanding that if Sinn Féin had their say, there would be no Arlene. Really, they can say, yes, she can be the leader of the talks or whatever, but the whole point is Sinn Féin trying to get rid of Arlene. What about the DUP? How much can we believe in the press that a significant number of the members of the DUP actually want rid of Arlene?
I'm not sure how far we can go with it. They definitely want rid of her, but yes, there is massive concern.
But they see her as a liability, maybe.
But they do, because you have to go back to last May, when it was considered to be a difficult election for the DUP. And let's bear in mind, Peter Robinson was quietly moved aside. It was a nicely handled transition of power. Arlene was put in place because they thought she was the answer to the Robinson problem. She was. She had extraordinary result. Technically, I think the best result the DUP has ever had. Move forward 8 months, and Arlene has delivered them potentially, and psychologically certainly, the worst result they've ever had. This is the worst day for the DUP since the referendum in 1998, and the worst day for unionism, I would argue, since the Anglo-Irish Agreement in 1985. So yes, some of those people who regarded Arlene as an asset don't regard her as an asset anymore. And I know, having worked in the Ulster Unionist Party, with David Trimble, who hung on for about 3 years afterwards, once your insides turn against you, you have a problem. People start briefing against her. You wouldn't have got that. Can you imagine, Frank, any time in the past 20 years when any paper in Northern Ireland would have carried the story that up to 10 DUP MLAs not happy with their leader? Even Robinson, at his worst moment, didn't have anything in that scale of disloyalty creeping through.
But it's interesting, that first text I got from a man called David, that's a straight quote from Arlene writing in the Sunday Life. She got 225,412 people to vote for the DUP. That's a heck of a load of support.
That, absolutely, and it I suppose it's the irony of this, Frank. Yes, she did. I think that 225, apart from maybe in Paisley, one of his Euro elections, is the best vote that the DUP has ever had. But you have to, two other things you have to set against that. 135,000 people came out on Thursday who hadn't come out 8 months ago. Of that 135,000, only 22,000 went to the DUP. So the argument you have to make is that most of them, 80% of them, went to Sinn Féin, Alliance, SDLP, UUP. So in that sense, she didn't get enough of her own people out, as the thing went. The other thing, of course, is that the nightmare scenario kicked in, that she fell below the 30, which will annoy those people who in the DUP, and there are many of them who oppose any shift on same-sex marriage, fetal abnormality and so on. They are extremely angry at the moment because the party, they didn't think it would fall to this. You have another set of people, 12 of them, to be honest, Frank, 12 ex-DUP MLAs who expected to be MLAs for another 4 years, all out of jobs, not happy. Their staff have gone as well. She no longer has the overall unionist majority, first time ever. That counts against them. And the link, the gap between Sinn Féin and the DUP, which until last Thursday was about the guts of 40,000, has now come down to 1,200. And the vote, or the seat difference between them, has come down from 10 seats to 1 seat. So yes, you can argue that Ireland added 20,000 votes on, but that 20,000 votes she added on wasn't enough to stop all the other damage.
Yeah, just in case you were on Mars all weekend, to put it simply, during the last Assembly election 10 months ago roughly, when they were electing 108 MLAs, the DUP had 38, Sinn Féin had 28. And now, this time round, when they're electing 90 MLAs, the DUP have 28, Sinn Féin of 27. So previously the DUP were 10 in front, now they're just 1 in front. That looks bad on paper for the DUP.
That looks bad on paper, and you can set against that, Frank, by saying that had the last election, had last May's election been held on a 90-seat MLAs, and the same figures, the Sinn Féin would have come back with 23 seats, and the DUP would have come back with 33. So even on 90 back then, they would still have had that 10-seat gap. But the interesting thing, not only did the DUP go down an extra 5 above that, Sinn Féin held their own. The SDLP held their own. Alliance held their own. So no matter how Ireland tries to cut this, unionism lost. The DUP lost. The UUP had massive hits. The PUP and TUV, their vote went down. So just taking it in the broad shape of unionism, while she still has the lead and while the DUP still is got more votes than all the other unionist parties combined, the fact remains, Frank, she did not get out, and nor did Mike, and nor did Jim, and nor did Billy Hutchison. They didn't maximise the unionist vote. It's almost as if unionists said, we don't want this bogeyman stuff. We're not afraid of Gerry Adams. We're not afraid of the Sinn Féin. We'd actually like something that resembles, what is unionism? What does it mean to be a unionist? What does it mean in Brexit to be a unionist? We never heard any of that. And so the people she needed to reach, she scared some. She scared 20,000 people, but the people she actually needed to reach didn't come out. And just a very quick point, if you knock off the TUV vote, who lost 3,000 or 4,000 votes, the PUP who also lost some, it's arguable that some of those people switched straight to the DUP. So she may not have even brought out an extra 20,000. She may just have got them from other unionists who just were a little bit scared.
So we are where we are. It's Monday. We're looking forward. What is going to happen now? How do they sort this out? You know, Sinn Féin are saying, we could have it done by Wednesday. What can they have done by Wednesday?
I'm not sure what they can have done. Well, Sinn Féin, I think their position is that there are a number of things from the Stormont House Agreement and the Fresh Start, which they believed the DUP had signed up to, excuse me, Frank, that the DUP had signed up to implementing. They're saying the DUP has done nothing about this. They say the Irish language stuff goes back 10 years. Nothing has been done about it. They're also a bit concerned, as we know, during the election campaign with the equality, the respect. That was very important in Sinn Féin. When you went to any of their meetings, That Martin McGuinness's line about, I think he said about a few days after he'd resigned, he said there was still a very sizable section of the Democratic Unionist Party which didn't even acknowledge him, which didn't even speak to him or other Sinn Féin MLAs. That worried Sinn Féin as well. The legacy stuff, that's worrying them. But the reality is, Frank, to be honest, that we've been talking about that since the Brooke Mayhew talks in 1990-91, we're no closer to getting that solved. And you will only get that resolved when you get the present stuff resolved. And I think a deal will be done. I think it's I suspect that neither Sinn Féin nor the DUP want another election. DUP afraid that it might actually go the extra mile, and they would be Sinn Féin will outpoll them. But Sinn Féin also probably a little bit worried that they got really lucky. It was a really good day for them, but it mightn't be as good the next time round. So for both those parties, they have an interest in getting a deal done. It's not going to be done in 3 weeks.
Are we definitely looking at the end of this petition of concern issue that seems less relevant now with the figures?
Well, nobody can exercise it on their own, which is a good thing. And I've argued for years that should have been changed way back at St Andrews, that there should have been built in that one party could not use the petition of concern. I think because Ireland's lost it, that will give her a problem. You know, I don't want to bore your listeners with this, Frank, but the petition of concern was built in for a very specific purpose. That very specific purpose was to mean that a unionist majority couldn't do something against nationalists, or a nationalist majority couldn't do anything against union. So it made sense. It meant that no one could use the bully pulpit to tell others, you know, we're the boss, now we'll tell you what to do. It was never meant to be used to overturn a vote. So if, you know, I mean, as it stands, some people have done calculations that there's about 52 people in this assembly would vote in favour of same-sex marriage. But the DUP has already said they will, and two, Jim Allister, Roy Beggs, have both said they would support a petition of concern with the DUP's 28. That is undemocratic, Frank, and I think that's an issue that Sinn Féin will not allow them away with this time. They'll say, no, keep a petition of concern for the very specific issue for which it was tendered, but no, it can't be used to protect a minister, it can't be used to protect one of your own, it can't be used to overturn the majority on issues like same-sex marriage, fatal abnormality. There's no point having an assembly and a debate and a reasoned motion if somebody then turns around and says, oh, doesn't matter, yeah, you might have won, but here we've got a petition of concern. That will go, it will have to go in its present form.
And finally, Alex, the UUP, SDLP, Alliance, others, when you top them all up, it's quite a number of people. But the reality is, it's the DUP and Sinn Féin. How relevant is any other individual party?
They're relevant. Well, a lot depends what they now do. I have this sense, Frank, and I think in fairness to them, the SDLP had a good election. I mean, it's always a good election when you put on votes and you actually maintain. I mean, they would have been expected on 90 to go down to about 10. They stayed, so they actually, in essence, they had a gain. They put on two, so they will be extraordinarily happy with that. But they and the Ulster Unionists will probably, and they didn't have enough time, they were hoping for 4 years, they got 8 months. They may now be considering whether it's worth going into opposition again. Let's face it, the Ulster Unionists have only got, 10? There's 22 between them. They've lost 6 between them. They don't have the talent. You know, almost, I think, with two exceptions, 8 of the 10 UUP were elected in 2016 are elected on Thursday. There may be a temptation. They have the numbers to go into the executive, as to the SDLP. SDLP have been very clear. Claire Hannah has said it. I think Nicola Mallon said it earlier this morning, that yes, they will look at it. If there's a budget they're happy with, if other things are fine, they would be minded to go back in the executive. UUP, I've talked to a couple of them over the weekend. Their line was similar. Look, Alex, did it pay us off? Did it pay us anything? If the SDLP go into the executive, can we sit outside by ourselves pretending to be the opposition? So you may find that all these parties, including the Alliance, who I think will end up as Justice Minister again, that all these parties will be back in the executive again when this deal is finally done. And that actually may suit both Sinn Féin and the DUP, because it gives them a little buffer between each other, which wasn't there. They only had Clare, Sugden before. Having three other parties just nestling in there may be useful to both of them. So I think you may find that there will be traction to get all of them into the executive again.
Okay. Alex Kane, political commentator, thank you very much indeed. And on what Alex was saying, let me speak to Stephen Farry of the Alliance Party. Stephen Farry, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Are you sitting hoping that someone in your party will get the Justice Ministry?
No, I mean, at the moment, I mean, my hope, and it is a hope rather than necessarily being optimistic, is that we can begin to resolve the problems that are facing Northern Ireland and get some form of executive in place so we can actually have a budget and a proper plan around how we handle Brexit and we can have stable, coherent, effective government. And this isn't about us as individuals, but it's about what the future of Northern Ireland is going to be. We've seen a lot of people a lot more engaged with the election, with that extra 100,000 people coming out to vote. And it's so important that they see delivery.
Yeah, you had a decent return in terms of Alliance, so too did the SDLP, but you're irrelevant in relation to the DUP and Sinn Féin.
Well, the voters didn't see us being irrelevant. I mean, our vote went up. So if people were seeing us as irrelevant, our vote would have gone down as people were moving away from us. We've had our best result, effectively, for well over 30 years in terms of our electoral performance. And alongside Sinn Féin, Alliance was the only party that saw its number of votes increase. So we've had a good election.
Have had a good election, but there's darn all you can do over these next few weeks.
Well, we'll be involved in those negotiations. And if you look at what the Alliance has done over the past number of years, we have put down a whole range of ideas on the table and pushed those in terms of good, strong, coherent government. At times, some of those have indeed been picked up and become part and parcel of delivery in Northern Ireland. At other times, our advice has been ignored with very real consequences. Just to pick up on the last conversation there around the petition of concern, whenever we were offered the justice post back in May of last year, the first item on our list in terms of demands was proper reform of the petition of concern back to its original use. At that meeting, Arlene Foster banged the table and said, no, that's not going to happen. And Sinn Féin backed her up. Now, Sinn Féin now have a different perspective on that issue, as indeed the DUP are now saying something similar as well. And it's a shame that that type of reform couldn't be put in place during the last mandate. And frankly, if it had, we would have avoided the collapse of the institutions and the election and the current uncertainty.
Do you believe we can form an executive and have an assembly up and running?
As we currently are talking this morning, Frank, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. On the surface, the gaps are not that massive. I mean, we've been through other difficult situations in the past, and as you compare Northern Ireland to other places around the world where they're making progress, there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing a lot better. But just in terms of the bitterness and the difficulty and the personality issues that have emerged over the past number of months, it is going to be challenging, especially in the short term.
Do you think Arlene Foster will be forced to make some form of move, even though it won't look like as if she's been forced? Will she make a move that will in some way let Sinn Féin off the hook on this?
Well, she is going to have to do something. Now, for us, the issue is not fundamentally about personalities. That's a demand we're making. Our interests are in terms of policy and indeed the practice of the executive and the assembly. But from her own personal perspective, if the current controversy around renewable heat happened in a different jurisdiction, a minister would have resigned whenever the matter came fully into the public domain. At the very least, she should have stepped aside. That's not our demand. It's just a commentary on terms of what would have happened elsewhere in terms of people's own perspective, in terms of how they manage their own life as a minister and their engagement with politics. Now, we're still in this deadlock around with her being a key issue, so she is going to have to reflect on that for sure.
Some politicians saying, oh, this can be sorted out in days. Others saying, oh, it'll be the last minute in 3 weeks. Do you feel that we're in a more difficult position than that?
Well, we're certainly in a very difficult position, and the level of bitterness between the parties is much more intense than it has been for many years. And